You're listening to Earful of Queer on CFRU 93.3 FM, your source of queers news and politics that don't suck coming straight out of Guelph, Ontario. This is a recap of Queers in the News from November 8th until November 14th, 2010. In Toronto, Ontario, two queer lovers are being held in the Toronto Immigration Holding Centre have spoken out about the harassment and targeting by guards for being queer. The guards harassed the two queers and threatened them with sexual violence. The two came to Canada from Mexico in 2006 to seek refugee status, but recently had their claim denied. Right now, the Immigrant and Refugee Board of Canada has a policy where they deny all queer refugee claims from Mexico. But queer refugees from Mexico fear violence and death if they return. Two queers have since been released on $5,000 bail, but are being forced to buy flight tickets to Mexico. They have filed a lawsuit against the Toronto Immigrant Holding Center, their lawyer thinks it won't be enough to let them stay. In Ottawa, the Transgender Day of Remembrance planned for this week has invited the police to participate in the march, with it starting at the Ottawa Police Headquarters, featuring speeches from police spokespersons. This has led to some controversy, prompting queers and trans folks to organize a second march location, which will meet up with the first march after the stop at the cop shop. It has also led to outright criticism of the organizers for inviting the police to participate in the Day of Remembrance. It isn't hard to look at previous episodes of Queers in the News to see that violence against queers and trans folks is regularly committed by the police. That is a systemic issue with policing and not just a few bad apples that allows these cops and murderers to continue to walk the streets. I, for one, am outraged that the organizers have chosen to work with the police, leaving those trans folks who have survived police violence little choice to participate in this event. In Fredericton, New Brunswick, a trans man was attacked in the washrooms at the University of Fredericton for being trans. He was entering the washroom when a female student told him to leave and then swung at his face. University of Fredericton has 15 gender-neutral washrooms on campus, none of which were in the building the attack took place. In Vancouver, Sean Woodward was sentenced to 6 years in a federal prison for a queer bashing that took place at a queer bar last year. The original instance took place when a queer approached Sean and offered to buy him a drink. Sean said no, and then sucker punched him while swearing and calling him queerphobic words. He was taken to hospital, but suffered brain damage from the fall, which has left him unable to feed or dress himself. In Edmonton, Alberta, a play called The Laramie Project was successfully staged after the Westboro Baptist Church failed to show up to protest the act. Several hundred counter-protesters showed up to tell them where to go in a figure of speech. Nate Phelps, son of Reverend Phelps, the leader of the Westboro Baptist Church, showed up to give a speech in support of the queer community, saying he wasn't surprised his father didn't show up. This is the latest of a dozen threats to protest queer events in Canada from Reverend Phelps, none of which saw them cross the border. The Laramie Project is a play about Matthew Shepard, who was murdered for being queer in a small town called Laramie. In international news, a new defendant was added to the lawsuit against the Mount Hope Infinity in Lansing, Michigan. An organizer for Chicago's Bashback chapter is the newest in a list of 14 individuals being sued for their participation in a protest in 2008. The original protest was at the anti-queer Mount Hope Church. Queers went out and held a demonstration outside, as queers infiltrated the church, dropping a banner that said, "It's okay to be gay," and throwing flyers to the congregation about queerness. One of their hopes for the protest was to let the youth in the church know that it is okay to be queer and that there is a community waiting to support them. In 2009, the Alliance Defense Fund, a right-wing organization, launched a lawsuit against Bashback, 14 individuals, and 20 Jane and John Doe's. Bashback is an international queer anarchist liberation group with chapters in Canada, the U.S., and Australia. In Madison, Wisconsin, a trans woman being held in a male prison is suing the state for mistreatment. Donna has been taking hormones for years, but hasn't been able to get bottom surgery due to a state law prohibiting state money funding inmate sex changes. Donna has been harassed and denied medical treatment by the prison for years. She has run into a number of barriers, including the prison denying her access to a bra and undergarments. Donna tried to commit suicide due to her treatment, as well as attempting to perform her own castration while inside. Prison officials recently got a settlement allowing Donna to access a bra and panties, but Donna has challenged the settlement, saying that the prison coerced her into taking the settlement. She wants to pursue the lawsuit to allow her to have a sex change. In Warsaw, Poland, queer activist from the Campaign Against Homophobia was arrested and beaten by police. He was trying to watch a demonstration organized by fascist groups when anti-fascists tried to block the demo. The police broke up the two groups. They then picked him out, along with others, and arrested him. He was then taken into the back of a cruiser and beaten. He was held for 20 hours before being released, and as always, the police have charged him with assault police. In Washington, D.C., the latest of a string of queerphobic beatings took place in the neighborhood of Logan. To date, this is the sixth beating in this neighborhood since the summer. Each time, a group with cricket bats beats someone, calling them a faggot or a white faggot, and telling them to get out of the neighborhood. It's likely that all these attacks are linked to the gentrification and rent increased in the neighborhood. Yuppies and queers have steadily been pushing low-income folks out of the neighborhood, likely prompting these attacks. It is a shame that this tension, created by the gentrification of this neighborhood, has turned into queerphobia and bashings. Queer yuppies moving into a low-income neighborhood has been a method used by developers to begin the process of gentrification, and queers need to be aware of this complacency within this takeover. It is a shame that this tension has manifested itself into bashings against queers instead of targeting the developers and investors who hope to get rich off of developing the neighborhood. That wraps up our news brief for this week, and of course we left out the discourse about celebrity sexuality, gay marriage, and politicians vying for the queer votes that continue in the news, skewing the real issues facing queer communities today. You're listening to Earful of Queer on CFRU 93.3 FM. Stay tuned for more.